Here's part two of the July 2nd, 2007 Jimmy Dohn podcast.
All right, we're back.
Okay, I want to continue a little
bit. Still our July show.
Yeah, still our July show. I want to finish up a little bit on the Supreme Court here. Even in agreement, Scalia puts their Roberts to the lash. And the one thing that I did find interesting, because I'm right in the process of writing a letter to Scalia because of the hypocrisy.
That same letter from the Raich case?
Yes, exact same one. I've got it up to Dear Justice Scalia.
10 years.
Comma, I was going to say.
Comma. And, well, I don't mean it's... Let me put it this way.
Space.
It's sitting here on the computer, and it is so old that it's fading on the computer. So that's it. Anyway, the point is that in a campaign finance case, he accused Chief Justice Roberts of faux judicial modesty for writing an opinion that, in Justice Scalia's view, would effectively overturn the court's 2003 campaign finance decision without saying so. A clear implication was that the Chief Justice lacked the courage or honesty to overturn the precedent openly, as Justice Scalia himself would have done, which is amazing because Justice Scalia, of all people, the bum, should have overturned the Raich case, as we've talked about.
Yeah, talk about.
I mean, talk about somebody
no
who.
Courage.
Talk or... about no courage. I mean, and talk about people that went on the stare decisis or whatever the hell it is.
Decisis, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing because we've talked about so many times the Wicker v. Filburn, which is the one 1942 decision that gave Congress the power to do anything.
Right.
Anything. It threw the Constitution out the window since 1942. And they had a chance to...
Could have been slapped down.
Finally could have gotten our Constitution back. But no! Scalia went with the majority on that. And I thought it was,
Write him, Jimmy.
I've got Dear Justice Scalia written.
Blog his brains out.
That's it.
So, blog his brains out.
That's it. So anyway, and then, of course, Stephen G. Breyer wrote a 77-page dissent to the one on the abortion thing. They did a ruling on abortion. And I forgot what exactly it was, but they apparently
upheld the partial abortion.
Yeah, okay, upheld partial
and ban,
right? And Breyer read his 77-page dissent in court. Shall we say
that's good TV?
Everybody, pay attention.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. And let's
get the popcorn out.
That's right. We Misty 3000. We can sit there.
Misty
3K. That's right. We'll just we'll sit there and critique it. Oh, listen, which reminds me, one thing I do want to take with me to K-Fest is that the ending to that show.
Right.
I need to get that.
I got it.
Okay, good. That was just the best.
Got it. Good.
Okay, good. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is universal health care. As you may or may not know.
Hillary care?
Yeah, well, you know. What is it? It's, Hill and Bill are here. What is it?
Hill's bit.
It's, we call her, let's see. I had a name for him. It was, Healthcare Hill and Blowjob Bill are on the campaign trail, and so I thought they've decided to do a two for one, I guess, and so she, of course, when she gets elected, is probably going to go to the socialist thing. Well, they're starting this off in Massachusetts, and this, of course, the founding where the country was founded, Pilgrims, the whole nine yards, the Boston Tea Party, et cetera, and so forth, where you would think they would have freedoms and so forth. No, not in Massachusetts. Thank you so much. Massachusetts universal health care plan faces hurdles, it says here. As of yesterday, it was mandatory that everybody in Massachusetts have a health care. That is to say, a SWAT team gets sent out if you don't have insurance. With a mandate that everyone...
We'll take care of your health.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly right. you're either on the health care plan or you're permanently off of it. We have our new burial plan you die from lead poisoning or... Yeah, whatever. With a mandate that everyone in Massachusetts have health insurance taking effect yesterday, more than 130,000 people, about a third of those who were uninsured a year ago, now have coverage. But I love this. When you read the article, it tells you a little bit about the fellow who wrote it. And as usual, we'll get to the last sentence. As always, the last sentence is so...
The meat, baby.
It's prescient, as we say. But most of those who have signed up are poor enough to qualify for free or state-subsidized insurance. Of course, there is no such thing as free. It may not cost them anything. It's all state subsidized. people who must pay the... I love this part. In the second paragraph, third paragraph, people who must pay the full cost themselves, who are crucial to the success of the most ambitious... Yeah, I mean, what's so funny?
The only people way who are paying for everything
yeah, what's surprising.
Are crucial. Now,
surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, if the people who are actually paying for it are crucial to the system. I don't... Boy, I tell you, that's amazing.
Genius right there.
And a lot of the population they're trying to reach now are young folks who don't have insurance for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is they don't think they're ever going to be sick. Well, duh. I mean, you know, here you got a 21-year-old, 30-year-old, whatever it is, guy runs the Boston Marathon every year, and you want to pony up a couple hundred dollars for you, whatever it is, $1,000 a year for health. And you say, hell no, I ain't going to get that. I'm going to live forever. And, of course, we know from Age of Spiritual Machines, he probably will.
Right.
So... So why pay anyway? But the way they're doing it, of course, is they have a state penalty. One of the things in Massachusetts they've got an income tax in Massachusetts. It's a state income tax. Mm-hmm. And apparently you get a deduction for a personal deduction. As you do on your federal income tax, it's a couple $1,000. On the state income tax, it's a couple hundred. What they're going to do is they're going to not only eliminate your deduction, but then they're going to start taxing you on your raise your.
And I'm sorry, what do you get the deduction for?
Being alive.
That's
it's called a personal. It's called a personal deduction. What they're going to do is, if you don't have insurance, they're going to eliminate that.
Okay.
And so what?
With you.
Yeah. So anyway, but I love this when you go through this thing is so typical of government again. Across the board, you know this thing is going to blow up. I would give it a B+, said John McDonough, executive director of Healthcare for All. Now, here's a guy, John McDonough.
Thomas.
Yeah, friend, and he's an advocacy group. Now, what do you expect this guy to say? I mean, he's if a guy who is the executive director of Healthcare for All, an advocacy group, gives it a B+, you know it's an F-. I mean, that's right away off the bat. I mean, the guy gets paid a couple $100,000 a year to say this. So, I mean, I would say, no, Jimmy actually wouldn't say it, but he'd be tempted. You know, you pay me enough money. I don't know. I even Jimmy would be tempted. I might have to kind of smirk. I'd want to do it I'd want to do it on YouTube and be dressed in a mask or something. You know, like Darth Vader. Massachusetts is deliberately taking things slowly. In 2008, the penalty for those not insured will be a loss of the state tax exemption worth about $219. Later, the penalty will be up to half of the monthly insurance premium for each month the person is uninsured. And also, while any insurance is acceptable at first, by January 2009, everyone must have drug coverage, which I like the drug coverage.
Yeah.
I want to be covered in drugs. There's no problem about that. I mean, do I get to choose?
You want a little cocaine?
That's right.
You want
heroin? I got to look like the white man the from, Lord. I got to look like a snowman when I get done. You know?
Some
I'm sorry. Here come Jimmy now. You come from Alaska, Jimmy? I say, oh, hey, Alaska. You come down, you're covered in snow, Jimmy.
Snowman.
That's right.
Man.
The abominations. Snowman, that's right. So anyway, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Jimmy so, don't.
That's right. Jimmy don't. Okay.
Drug coverage, 100%.
I love, 100, between my toes. Between my toes, even.
Let's not go any further,
I
want
to. No, I want to be.
Just keep it right there.
When I pad across the sidewalk, I want to leave white marks there. There is a calculation made as to how, I love this. There was a calculation about how to phase this in a way that didn't frighten people off. I mean, the whole point is we scare the shit out of them if we tell them the way. But what we're going to do is we're going to ease it in. Ultimately, we're going to have to explain to people that this is an obligation.
We're going to have to tell them.
Yeah, ultimately, we're going to have to tell them this. You know,
look.
What I love about this, this is so typical. A $3 million advertising campaign includes postcards to millions of residents, announcements in pharmacies and supermarkets, and television advertisements shown on the Red Sox cable network to reach younger people. But I love this. I've always said, if it's such a good deal, why do you have to advertise it? I mean, people should be lined up out the door, say, clamoring, yep, like they were for the iPhone, clamoring, lined up 3 days in advance. Where can I get one of these? But no, it's such a shit deal, that they have to convince them, like the lottery down here in Florida, that's good for you. And then of course, what they've got up there are 42 plans offered by 6 insurers. Like, people are going to really read that stuff. I mean,
well, they've already admitted themselves that they're trying to dispel a serious rumor that would cause a serious riot.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you talk about sugarcoating. They are lathering this baby up. They're, first of all, they're covered in molasses, and then they put the sugar on top so it sticks. I mean, this is unbelievable. The Martin Avila of Plymouth is the kind of enrollee officials want. Really want. 31 years old, relatively healthy, uninsured. So this is, and who can pay? So he just bought a $218 insurance plan. Obviously getting everyone insured is positive, Mr. Avila said. I'm just not sure if the people who aren't insured right now are helped all that much by adding $200 a month. I don't know if it's a long-term solution. Well, you know, it isn't. Okay. Joan Meister, 25, an uninsured film production assistant from Brighton, may not buy in, saying she may choose the penalty if insurance proves too costly. It would really be for me whatever's the cheapest and easiest. Well, duh.
I like that. I'll take the penalty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll take the penalty. Why not?
Fuck you, buddy.
That's right. You know, I'm running down the highway at 200 miles an hour, and that's a $20 ticket. I'll take the ticket. Right. You know, I'm not going to slow it. But I love this. Here's where the unintended consequences are going to come in. They have got the employers in on this thing, and all of full-time employees counted as working over 35 hours a week have to be enrolled in this thing, and also if you have a business that has more than 10 people. You can imagine, I can tell you right now, there are going to be a flurry of businesses in Massachusetts with exactly 10 people or 9, and everybody's going to work 34 hours a week. Watch this, exactly what's going to happen.
No question about it.
One of the problems is, of course, they have a shortage of primary care physicians, so even if you have insurance, you're still not going to get the health care. There's going to be rationing, I can tell you right now. Here's the money sentence at the end. We're attempting to implement a sizable, significant cultural change with the law. This is really, said Mr. McDonough of Healthcare for All. This may blow up in our face, but it's not going to be for lack of effort. I love it. I mean, this is great. God. What we may have an explosion, but by God, it's going to be a big one. I mean, this is so cool. I mean, I just love it.
That was a good one.
No, it was really. I mean, there was another article but in the Washington Post that I had a couple things underlined. The choices we make now will set the direction of medical care for America for years to come, which is a little scary.
Yeah, exactly.
The state's 175,000 employers have to pitch in too. Businesses with 11 or more full-time employees that do not offer health insurance must pay an annual, quote, fair share, unquote, of the assessment of $295 per employee.
You know what I say about fair.
Yeah, exactly. and they got to pay health insurance premiums with pre-tax dollars. And here's the thing. I love this. This tells you everything. Quote, we need to be fair and lenient in terms of enforcement, both on employers and individuals in the first year of order, in order not to incur some kind of backlash, read riot, said Richard C. Lord.
Dick
President,
Lord?
That's right. Dick Lord. Dick Lord said, President of Associated Industry of Massachusetts and a member of the Connector Board, we need to give everybody a chance to adjust to the new realities. So Dick Lord. I mean, you know.
Oh, Lord of Dick.
That's right. No, I mean, this guy,
you're making that up.
No, it's right here.
I'm thinking the guy's making it up. When he was giving the interview, they're asking him his name. My name,
Richard C. Lord. My name is Richard C. Lord.
The Lord.
That's right. The Lord. No, but I mean, I love this. But I mean, is that the name for a porn star guy or not?
Dick Lord.
Honest to God, he missed his calling. I'll tell you right now. That's it.
The whole thing with the health care is that we'd all have great health care if they just didn't have so many damn restrictions on.
Let me tell you,
people would be able to practice it and, of course, get
exactly.
the meds.
They did away with the AMA.
If they did away with the AMA and all that stuff. We'd be fine. We'd be great.
So many
they
other
don't
things
trust
too,
the market. They have
it costs
they have
so much
be a start. Be a
to
good
get
start.
Your doctor's license, and then of course cost infinite billions of dollars to set up a freaking clinic when it shouldn't cost dork.
Mandatory insurance all up the.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. They screwed up the market. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, the doctor came, I'll never forget, in a Studebaker to my house when I had chicken pox or something.
Got out his doctor's bag.
Yeah, he did. Had an official.
Are you sure it wasn't a horse and buggy, Jimmy?
I remember it's a Studebaker because original Studebakers, you couldn't tell where they're coming or going. I don't know if you've noticed what a Studebaker looks like, but they're the same.
We had no idea. But we'll post one on our website.
That's right. So anyway,
because no one else has an idea.
Okay, whatever. So anyway, the deal is though I'm not advocating necessarily that we quite go back to that, but I would like to see a little more of Dr.
Nick. Hi, everybody.
That's right, Dr. Nick. I mean,
we need more Dr. Nicks. I'm telling you.
We need a little more bedside manners. Well, is that what you're saying?
With some of that, and the again, they have injected. They're all complaining. This is the new movie. I'm going to go see this movie. This is the Michael Moore movie, Sicko.
Sicko. Right.
That started like yesterday. I started.
So.
Boy, well, what's interesting is here's a guy who weighs 400 pounds talking about health care.
Yeah, I mean,
he needs a lot of help.
Well, I'm telling you, here's a guy who's a diabetic waiting to happen.
He's
the
authority.
Yeah,
on
he's
the,
well. Anyway, I understand that the film is supposed to be pretty good. It got all kinds of stars, and I
good.
I
mean, it's a pile of shit.
Well, let me tell you.
I haven't even seen it yet.
Well, that's. I don't think that's fair. I've seen the clips to know. The problem is, same thing with David Broder did in his thing. You go through all this stuff, and unfortunately, right at the end, you veer off the cliff into the wrong conclusion. And that is, he says we need to have single-payer government-run health care. What he's proven, and what I guess he's proven in his movie, is that the government-type stuff doesn't really work. I mean, he says it works okay in France and, in East Jesus Samoa, Australia or something. But my point is that the system, he's been brought up in a system. He doesn't understand what it's like in a market system. He doesn't understand the market. And the market would figure this out in spades. It wouldn't be a problem. His solution, let me put it this way. He is complaining because the insurance companies are in between the doctor and the patient. And what he would do is replace the insurance companies with the government. There's a difference. The government has guns. They will shoot you. They will shoot both sides. They will shoot the patient and the doctor if it doesn't go right. I mean, the insurance companies, yeah, that's bad. Okay, but you still can walk out the door without a bullet wound. I mean, the simple fact is that when you put the third party as the government, that's the worst thing you can do. Yeah. Those guys will SWAT team you to death.
Yeah, that's like the movie Do the Right Thing, where at the end, he does the wrong thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm astounded to think, again, and they come up with the same thing, and here's in June 26th, survey finds 43.6 million uninsured in the U.S. I don't even consider this a news article. I'm saying, so what? Why is this even a news item unless you think it's a bad thing? The fact is, so what is my answer? These are the 31-year-old marathon runners that don't want insurance, number one. Insurance ain't health care. I keep telling people this. You can have all the insurance in the world. You could pay $10,000 a month for insurance. It still doesn't mean you're going to have health care. You could still go into the doctor's place and whip out your Blue Cross, Blue Shaw, Red Cross, Red Shield, Purple Cross, Purple Shield plan, and the guy says, nah, wait in line.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. We're, hangnail to kidney. We don't have any of those here. Go away. I mean, it doesn't. Healthcare is healthcare. So anyway, I was.
I still think his movie's a pile of shit.
Well, it's interesting because you have
watch
to.
It first.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna watch.
I know.
It.
I'm basing that on all of the past rhetoric that has come out of his.
Well, they said
orifices.
Well, I thought one of that. You can tell.
I'm guessing that I can't even support it. I'm certainly not going to pay any money.
Well, I'm going to do it, but I thought it was interesting.
You can do the review on that.
Yeah, I will do this because
I'm going to go to Ratatouille.
No, that okay.
A little entertainment.
Ratatouille got, but the other one that we want to see that we're probably to see in K-Fest is the fourth Die Hard movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Die Hardest.
Oh my God! I mean, that is just
Die Hard at 65.
Oh man, I'm 50. I think he's only 55.
He's looking. He lost his wife, but he's looking.
Yeah, whatever happened to me.
She's banging a 28-year-old.
All right. Oh, baby.
She traded up. As well.
She traded up. She got a trophy husband?
Yep.
Trophy boyfriend? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
The bad news about, of course, the Sicko movie is that who's allied with him? Of course, all the politicians are lining up.
Well, on which side? Let's clarify that.
They're finding it for the universal single government-run health care system, right?
But which politicians?
We're talking about
Reverend Sharpton?
The
candidates.
All the Democratic.
Democratic right. candidates. Yeah, well, okay. I would imagine some Republicans are going to show up there, too. They're going to. I don't know exactly.
Nah.
But anyway, what I love this, there's two things to consider about this. Now, Michael, if you think that Michael, and I think he's a really smart guy. I think he's a genius.
Michael Moore? Wow.
I really do.
Let
me tell you something. Well,
Jack says he's a dumbass.
No, I tell you, he may be ignorant.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
but he's smart.
We agree on that.
But he's smart.
He's making money.
Let me tell you,
no,
you know how much this movie
that.
Cost to make?
No, I'm not going to argue he's making money.
$9 million.
Doesn't make a good.
Wow.
No, $9 million is what this. Now you understand that movie gross is gross, like the last one grossed like $119 million, cost him $9 million to make.
I mean, good return on investment.
Are
no
you
question.
Kidding?
No question.
I mean, you think about the Costner movies and some of these things that cost $80-90 million. Some of the stuff $80-90 million, and they don't get their money back. I mean, this guy is a gold mine. I'm in hell. I just
it doesn't make
and what he did
it
was
make him a good
and what he's doing is in promoting. This is the great part of this. This is what's so cool about this guy in promoting his movie as he walks through Congress, and he has all the politicians trailing him like he's some kind of god, like he's Bruce Willis or somebody. They're all following it, huh?
King Canute.
Yeah, they're following him. The politicians are kowtowing to this guy. He's got his cameras running for, guess what? The next movie.
Right.
I mean, this is so great. It reminds me a little bit of some of the websites where people, their website is basically people that write in, and you look at the fake Steve Jobs, for instance, or the Dilbert blog, that what people do is they look for the comments. I mean, you write a little bit, and then the popularity of the website is because of whatever everybody else says. Here's a guy who's made this movie, and his next movie is going to be about the movie before. I mean, it is so cool. I think it's just, I mean, I think it's great.
I'm telling every one of his movies should just be called Fat Slop.
Well, he is. I did see. He was on Larry. No, he got an hour.
Fat Slop goes to Washington.
He got an hour after Paris Hilton on Larry King.
Really? Oh my God!
They asked him. Larry King, of course, is the softball. I mean, Larry King, the guy didn't know how to ask a question at all. You know, well, I'll tell you, he softball. That's why everybody loves to be on Larry King, I guess.
Jimmy's telling Larry how to do it.
But no, well, he does. On one of those shows, he was on. He's been on all the big shows. He's been on Colbert, I think, or the other one, whatever the news. Daily Show. He's been on all those shows, and somebody happened to slyly mention, you seem to be a tad overweight yourself, you know. And he says, I'm on a diet now, and I've decided to do the healthy lifestyle, and I've lost 15 pounds or whatever it was, and, you know, which is not even as
well. He took a dump before the interview.
That's right. Well, not only that, we call that a rounding error. In more ways than one, okay. The free market groups like the Cato Institute have held briefings to rebut Mr. Moore showing short films that find fault with the Canadian system. Healthcare America, a group that is financed in part by the pharmaceutical and hospital companies, placed an advertisement in Capitol Hill newspaper stating, in America, you wait in line to see a movie, and government-run healthcare services, you wait in line to see a doctor. So anyway, the point is, I find it interesting that David Broder in Washington, and this guy also, they run this stuff up, they find out, and then they forget about the market. It's just stunning how people have been brainwashed with the education system, I guess the indoctrination system, the government-run indoctrination system.
Well, he's a total lefty. He believes in the government.
I understand that. And what is stunning to me, I would like to be around long enough to watch these guys here, even locally.
Well, I hope they get a clue from watching Hugo. I'm hoping.
Hold it. Let me see if I got the Hugo thing.
I mean, all we
got sounds
do
like
is,
a segue coming.
If
out,
we yeah, wait think, until if we,
you're right.
Once yeah. Hugo destroys Venezuela, hopefully all the people will have jumped on board. Who is the Mel Gibson? Not Mel Gibson, but his partner in the Lethal
Weapon. Danny Glover.
Right. Is like, you know, down there taking pictures with Chavez.
Yeah, right.
Man.
We're buds.
Arm in arm.
We're buds.
So $16 million.
I hope he bails out Venezuela once it crashes and burns.
It is going to. Well, we're going to talk about that.
Do you want to take a break?
Yep. Take a break.
Thank you for listening to part two of the July 2nd, 2007 Jimmy Dunn podcast.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling. I knew you'd love me as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Why did that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. Crazy for thinking that my
few animals were hurt in the taping of the Jimmy Doan Show.
Like this one.